Okay, give yourself a hand. I'm going to hand this to Vanna. This is my Vanna. This is my Vanna. Now we have another. She's not necessarily special, but she is special. You know, she's not a, and when I say that, she's not exactly a remote, far, far away from us that we don't know who she is type person, but yes, she's very special. And Whitney, is in this week with us, our own Whitney Browning. For those of you that don't know her background, Whitney left us almost, we're getting close to 9 months, I guess. 9 months ago, she left and she ventured off to Oklahoma, and she's working through a ministry at the general level of our denomination, which spans worldwide. And she just got back a few weeks ago from Guatemala, and I asked her to come and just take a couple minutes and share with you some of the experience she had leading a team to Guatemala. She's here this week to minister in youth camp, and then in about a week from now, she's going back to Oklahoma, and she's going to share with you just a little bit this morning an update of what's going on in her life.
Microphones, is this on? Check. Microphones still make me nervous. It's really good to be back. I was telling Mom just the other day that it doesn't really feel weird because it still feels like home. I don't know if that's because I haven't been gone long enough or if that always stays that way. But Pastor's right. I just got to lead a team to Guatemala just a few weeks ago. And it was really funny because this year is actually supposed to be my training year. It's the year that I'm supposed to learn how to lead mission trips. But this trip came up. They needed a leader, and I was sent to go be a co-leader of this trip to Guatemala. And it was incredible. It was a lot of feelings of inadequacy. It was a lot of feelings of not being worthy. But it was a lot of feelings of Jesus just working through us despite of ourselves. And so it was beautiful. The Guatemalan culture is one of my favorite cultures. Latin American culture is actually one of my favorite cultures because everyone is so warm and inviting and so welcoming. And we would do street evangelism just about every day. We did street evangelism. And you go and you don't really knock. You kind of just look over their fence and you're like, voila! And they come out. And even if they're not Christians, they just invite you right into their house. And it's just so sweet. And they want you to pray for them and pray for their families. So we had the opportunities to pray for people's families. We had the opportunities to pray for salvation, and we saw, I don't know how many people we saw come to Jesus. It was beautiful. We wept with people. We prayed for healing. We saw, I know there's one lady in particular that I had the honor of praying for, who she said when we started praying for her, she had been dealing with tons of anxiety, and she said that she felt that anxiety lift and leave. And we were just so thankful because that whole day we prayed for healing, and we're believing that even the healings that we didn't see are happening, even though we're not even in Guatemala anymore. So I was telling my brother this morning, it's funny because it's Father's Day, and when I was in Guatemala, it was Mother's Day. And I actually had the opportunity to preach 3 times in Guatemala, and one of the times that I preached, it was a Mother's Day message. And I talked about how even when Jesus was on the cross, he still looked at Mary and made sure that Mary was taken care of as his mother. And I just think that's so cool because now today it's Father's Day and we get to look at Jesus on the cross and we get to see all that he's done for us, that God's done for us as our Father. We saw so many sweethearts. We met so many sweet people. We were honored to work with Pastora Gladys and her husband, Bishop Atilio. They're the national leaders in Guatemala. And we had five team members. 3 were from Holmes Bible College in South Carolina, and 2 were from Emmanuel College in Georgia. And on our last night, one of my favorite moments of our last night was we gathered together, and everyone was so sad to be leaving. We had seen so many things. We saw God do so many things during our time in Guatemala. But we told the team, we just said, we want to worship with you guys, and we want to pray with you guys. And we want to take time. We've been ministering. We've been pouring out. But before we get on planes and leave tomorrow, we want to gather together and minister to each other. Because part of what the awakening does is we make sure that we're not only helping the countries that we go to, but we're making sure that our mission trips are opportunities to really pour into the people who are coming on the mission trips. And so we stopped and we took that time And what we thought was going to be about a 30-minute Devo session of worship turned into a 2-hour time of prayer and worship. And we had one guy, he was over in the corner just face down crying out to the Lord. We had another girl over in this corner playing guitar, and she had the biggest smile on her face. And the Lord just kept giving us words for each other, and he just kept pouring stuff into us. And one of those girls is actually hoping to go back to Guatemala. She feels called to missions, and she wants to be a missionary. And we just saw the Lord do so many things. So I get to do it all the time and all over again. I go back to Oklahoma next, not this week, this week is camp. Next week I'll go back to Guatemala, to Oklahoma. And then from there we go to Costa Rica for 2 weeks. We're leading 2 mission trips with 2 different youth groups, and our summer interns are in. And so it's just a fun summer. So straight from Costa Rica, we go to Hungary, where our international base is. From Hungary, we go to Malta, and we've been given the assignment to evangelize to the whole island. And we're so excited to do that because we believe that Jesus is going to touch that whole island while we're there. And we've taken that assignment seriously. Guatemala must be on my mind. From Malta, we'll go back to Hungary to be with our summer interns, and then we'll go back to Oklahoma, and we'll have a commissioning service and commission them out to do great work. So whenever you think about the awakening, whenever you think about our staff, whenever you think about me, just pray for us that we would hear the Lord clearly, that we would do what he says when he tells us to do it, and that we would minister wholeheartedly and with pure hearts every single time that we're given the opportunity to. And I want to thank you guys for supporting me so faithfully. You don't even know what your support means. It's all the things that I get to see. I believe it's part of your ministry because you're supporting it. So thank you. And thank you for letting me share.
Thanks. Thank you so much. And we appreciate it. And again, you can help support Whitney financially through this church, and which also is helping the entire Awakening team. So thank you, Whitney. We appreciate the work you're doing and for you joining us this morning. And I know it's a good time of reunion for you, and you were just at home, and that's great. Listen. Thank you for being here again. I know I've already said that multiple times, but I can't thank you enough. But what I do want you to do is, if you got one of these bulletins, you should have received one. I want you to fill out the Connect card in it if you're a first-time visitor, or perhaps you haven't been here in a long time. And we've got a special gift for you, and we'll put it in your hand. Just drop your Connect card off at the Connect Center as you leave in a little while from now. And also, if you're a regular here, that Connect card has a place for you to fill out a prayer request, or if you want to be added to the prayer network that we do by text message, and please fill that out. In your bulletin, you'll notice there's a lot of things coming up. If you would like to go to Camp Maranatha Wednesday night, where Whitney and the team will be ministering, that's our teen youth camp, you're welcome to go. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer at the Connect Center. We have an ARC encounter trip coming up. That is a bus trip. There's information on that, again, in the Connect Center. Sunday, 2 weeks from now, we're having a potluck breakfast during life group time, and we would love for you to come and eat breakfast with us as well. And then certainly last but not least, you'll see that coming up on July 13th, that is a Saturday, we are doing a diaper run. What is a diaper run? Well, it's sort of a motorcycle event. But if you don't have a motorcycle, you're still welcome to come. We encourage you. Sarah said, what do you want to wear to church this morning? You know, we've been dressing up all week long for a camp meeting. And I said, I'm just tell you, I'm going to wear one of my Harley shirts this morning. It's Father's Day, and I ought to get to just dress up however I wanted to. So here it is. You know, right there you go. But last year we collected 4,400 baby diapers. And this year we're hoping to do that. And the proceeds will go to the Able Crisis Pregnancy Center, located right over in Bluefield. And it will help young mothers, or young couples, but especially the young mothers, to get started with raising these new babies that they decided not to have aborted. Amen? That they decided to give birth to, and we're going to help those mamas out. and bless them. So help spread the word. If you can come participate, we'd love for you to. We're going to fix food. We're going to have a good time. Well, this morning is Father's Day, and I'm not going to hold you too awfully long, but I've got a message that I want to preach to you. You would think it's maybe a little bit of a classical Father's Day message. Perhaps it is. But this message, this text of it, will be found in Luke chapter 15. And in Luke chapter 15, it's better known to most of us, perhaps in this room, as the story of the prodigal. And prodigal is a word that's used a lot. It's even been used in recent months and years as movie titles, and there's songs out about prodigals, and it may be a term that you hear. And sometimes when we think of the prodigal, we think of the son. And we think of this wayward young man that left his dad, but there's more to the prodigal here than just the son. There's another important factor in this story of the prodigal, and it's the dad. So I want to read to you from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 13. And if you don't have your Bible or your iPhone or iPad or something like that, you're welcome to read along with on the overhead. Jesus continued. There was a man that had two sons. Two is very important to us today because it's representative of two choices. There was a man that had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. Father, we thank you for the power of your word, and I ask that you enable me to bring forth through your anointing, your equipping, the message for this day, this morning, this Father's Day 2019, and I'm dependent upon you and your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Has the last few weeks I've preached, if you would, we could call it a series, but I've been preaching along the vein of God's graces, and I'm continuing to do that this morning. I'm continuing to want to stir in your memory or to bring you to identify with the grace of God and the grace that He has shown to us. And as I continue to do that this morning on this Father's Day, I want you to realize that as we look at this story, it's an encounter between a loving dad and his two sons. The main focus tends to go to this one son. This one son that decides that I want to do my own thing. And as Jesus is describing this story, he's given it, if you would, it's considered in the sense of a parable, but I wonder if maybe, just maybe, Jesus didn't know someone who had went through this. I wonder, just maybe, just perhaps, you know, that as creative as God is, and Jesus is God, we know that he has imagination that is beyond comparison. If you don't believe that Jesus has a great imagination, just look at the person next to you right now. And you can tell what kind of an imagination that he has. But perhaps, just perhaps, this was an occurrence that Jesus witnessed. And just perhaps, this is something that he had saw. But when we look at this story, I want you to identify with me this morning that when Jesus is telling this story, he's telling this story predominantly, in fact, probably was into the life of Jews in its entirety. His audience were probably all Jewish. At least they all were very familiar with Jewish tradition and Jewish lifestyle. And as he begins to share this story, it's almost as things are getting started off on the wrong foot in the beginning. Because a good Jewish dad knew that you did not give away your inheritance before the time. And this dad is dividing, which it wasn't unusual. We still practice that in Western culture today. Some of you all already have a will. And if you don't know my correct spelling of my name, I'll give it to you after services. Come see me. But some of you already have a will established of who's getting what when, you know, that time comes. And we all know that time is going to come our way in the future. If Jesus tarries his coming, that time is going to come. So we make up a will, and that will describes, you know, what we're going to have. Now, my sister and I, my dad, all of his real estate, he deeded to us in a life estate many, many years ago. He and my mother, when they found out that she had cancer, took care of all of that. So my sister and I, we're the rightful owners of the property, the real estate that my dad owns, but we are the rightful owners only on paper, if you would, in effect. He's still the owner of the property. He still maintains the property. He still has the financial responsibility. So even though it's been done, if you know what I'm saying, it's not been done yet. And such was it in the Jewish culture. This guy, he already had divided. He had two sons. He's already divided up what's going to go to who. And apparently, they knew that. To what extent, we're not sure. But they were, these two sons were aware of that. But the one son comes up and says, I want my part. And then we find in the scripture that Jesus explains it, that dad said, okay, I'm going to give it to you. Now that no doubt really messed with the Jews that are listening to this parable at this time, because nobody gets nothing until daddy's dead. Are you with me? Nobody gets anything until daddy's dead. So distribution was only made after death. So this whole story in its beginning probably got off on the wrong foot with many of the listeners, because it was ridiculous. No, everybody knows this don't happen. That's not the way it works. You know, sometimes you and I can form and into patterns and traditions and culture and even laws. And you and I, sometimes we think, well, this is supposed to happen this way. This is supposed to fit this mold. You know, square pegs don't go in round holes. Square pegs only go in square holes. And we have all of these ideas in our mind, and we have all of these models, and we just know exactly how we want things to happen, but sometimes it just simply doesn't work out the way that we think it's supposed to work out. And then we wonder and we struggle and we think, is this really God? Is this really God? Well, listen, Jesus was really God. And he's explaining this story in a way that in its beginning, in its early stages, it would bring utter humiliation to this family. But I want you to know this. Grace is always on the move. Grace is always in motion. You see, because the father's response in the beginning, even though it seemed ridiculous that he would give this son his inheritance, it was an embarrassment that the son would ask for it, because his dad's not even dead yet. As far as we know, the guy's not even sick. He doesn't have any ailments. He's not even taking baby aspirin. There's nothing wrong with this guy. And the son would ask him, I want my part. He must think the old dude's getting ready to kick the bucket. But that's not true at all. But the fact of the matter is, then the dad turns around and says, okay, I'm going to give it to you. You see, and what we see there is a distribution. It's grace in motion. And we see a distribution of grace coming, because what could have happened is that son could have been detained. That son could have been punished. That son should have, by all practical purpose, been disciplined even for his request. I can remember my late wife's grandmother. She was a character, to say the least. And she had a bunch of kids, and she had an even bigger bunch of grandkids. And every time she would get mad at one of them, she would drive. She would have somebody, because she didn't drive, she'd have somebody drive a Whiffle to the lawyer's office, and she'd have her will changed. You know? Bless God, if I had two sons, I only have one, so there's nobody there to argue about it. But bless God, if I had two sons and one of them come to me and I'm a little ways at least away from kicking the bucket, and he come to me and said, hey, I just want my part now. Let's go ahead and give it to me because I'm through with you. I don't want nothing else to do with you. I said, all right, buddy, I'll head to the lawyer's office. I'll take care of this right now. That's probably what I would do. I would take that circumstance into discipline. But no, this dad honored the request of this son. You see, it was grace already in motion. It's grace already happening in his life. Instead of punishing him, he actually sent this son away as a rebel. He sent him away with nothing attached. Nothing attached. And he gave him the liberty that he was asking for. Well, you know, sometimes we think about that and that sounds a little crazy. I never did let my son do everything that he asked me if he could do. That he may have snuck around, I'm sure he did, because he's his father's child. He probably did things he wasn't supposed to do. He was also his mother's child. So he wasn't always perfect. I'm not inciting that, but I didn't always give him his way. But when we look at this, we see in this far-fetched circumstance that this dad says, "All right, I'm going to give it to you. Here you go. You've got it." And then what we see happen is in this display of grace in motion. What we see is sincere love doesn't desire to control. Now listen, I believe in spare the rod, spoil the child. My mom didn't use the switch too often. She used the pink fly swatter. I told most of y'all about that. I can remember lots of times those little checkerboards off that pink fly swatter on the back of my legs. And those were beatings that I, no, they weren't really beatings. Those were whippings that I took for my sister, bless God. Cause she's the one that deserved them. The oldest sibling is always the worst. Some of you should be saying amen right there. Heath, it was your chance. The older siblings are the worst.
Amen.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. The oldest siblings are always the worst. Pam, you could even amen, but it wouldn't have been as fun because Vicky's not in here. But sincere love doesn't control. Since, you know, that doesn't mean that doesn't exclude and exempt us from discipline. But I want you to see that because we're talking about this. You have to look at the big picture. This is a metaphor. But God's love doesn't desire to control us. God is not wanting to control you. He's not wanting to control me. But what happens is that we see that this father had some faith in his son. The one son that was even asking the far-fetched thing, it is a display that he had some faith. He believed somehow in this son. Even though the credibility, it looks like it's being questioned, that there was sincere faith that enabled this dad to let this son go in spite of his rebellion, if you would. So love doesn't control, and sincere faith will enable the father to relinquish to this son what he's asking for, even though it's quite ridiculous. Do you know that's exactly the way it is with us and God? Do you know what? He doesn't desire to control us. He doesn't desire, we're not robotic. He doesn't desire to manipulate our lives. And what happens to us, his sincere faith will allow him to let us go. You see, because this dad understood his son had a self-will. That self-will was rising up. I've got news for you. You and I have self-wills. We have self-wills. Our self-will rises up. Sometimes it rises up to good. Sometimes it rises up to evil. But the truth of the matter is that God will allow, He allows us to operate in our self-will. This dad yielded to his son's self-will, even though this dad knew, because this dad had, we know he was old enough to have two sons, so this dad, his age and his life experience had gained him wisdom. He knew his son was making an unwise choice, but yet he yielded to his son because he had a sincere love and he had some faith that would enable him to let go. He knew somehow, I believe, this dad knew his son would suffer. Somehow he knew that it wouldn't be good. But he released this son to follow his own self-desires. And here's why. And here's why God can release you and I. Because when we read Genesis 2 and 7, we find in the Scripture, different than anything else God created, it says that God, He created man, that He breathed. The pneuma, the breath of God came into man, and man became a living soul. Let me tell you something. I love y'all, of course y'all know I'm not a big cat fan, okay? I'm not a big cat fan. I like dogs. I love dogs. In fact, especially the bigger the dog, the better. Except when I'll just tell you, I went by my son's house the other day to check on the grandkids, and he's got a Rottweiler. He's had Rottweilers for years, both Rottweilers that he's has just been big old babies. But apparently, the dog's name's Kane. Apparently, Kane didn't hear Pa pull up in my old Ford truck. It's hard to believe that old Ford truck would run so smooth that Kane couldn't even hear it when it pulled up. I must have been running on air. So I pull up and I go in the back door of the house across into the attached garage of the house. And old Kane, he apparently didn't hear me. And when I walk up to the back door and I shake the doorknob, Kane was around the corner. I didn't see Kane. But when I shook that doorknob, he saw me. And gentle, loving Kane that I've played with since he was just a little puppy came out from around the corner there, a blind corner, if you would, at the washroom. And the next thing I know, I shake the doorknob, and next thing I know, whoosh! And it's proven that my heart is in good shape in that moment. Because when his woof got done, I felt his slobber all up this arm right here. And I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. I still have an arm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But I don't care. Dogs, our cats, our pet gorillas, our pet snakes. I don't care what it is. There's nothing else in the world that God created that He breathed the breath of life into except humanity. And man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. Man was given a will. Man was given the ability to make decisions and to come up with ideas and to carry them out. And so it is that this son had a will because he was a living soul. And you and I have a soul. God breathed into us, and we have a will. We are superior to any creature on the face of the earth. We have the ability to rationalize. We have a conscious thought process. We are different. And God will honor that when He made us different, and He will allow us to choose what we want to do and what we don't want to do. He will allow us to come up and say, I want my part, and I want it now. And you see, in this world we live in, when we're living with this life only in mind, we're like that prodigal son. And we're only thinking about what this life will hold in the moments and in the years, whether it's a few years or whether you live to be 105 years old. We begin to think about all the moments that this life holds, and we begin to lose the eternal perspective. And that is exactly the metaphor that is given forth in this parable. This son had lost sight of the big picture. He wanted the moment that was at hand. And sometimes you and I become that same way. The big picture had escaped him. He wasn't thinking about what lay in store, because when you study Jewish law as it was. What this son received was not in essence all that he could receive if he had remained and stayed on course. That's why when he returns home, that he is restored to his inheritance. It's not that he got double dipped. It's because he only could receive what was allowed him by his dad in that day. So if when we read the Apostle Paul, what he wrote to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, in this life only, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all people most miserable. Understand me. I love life. I love living. I love having fun. I love my toys, whether it's a Harley Davidson or whether it's a new guitar or whatever. I love life. I love having fun. My wife and I doing things and enjoying life. I love having fun with my son. I enjoy with my grandkids. But you know what? But my life is more than just the channel that I'm in right now. My life is more than just this phase of life, this dimension that I'm in right now. Because I have to realize, because I am a living soul, there is life eternal. And there is so much more that's beyond this life. I can leave this life with all the toys in the world and be eternally lost. And the Bible says a man that could gain the whole world but lose his soul, he's of all people. That's misery in itself. So I have to look at an eternal perspective. But if I pursue this life, my daddy, just like that, my daddy, not my earthly daddy, my heavenly dad, just like this earthly dad in this parable, he will release me. He will release me to chase after my own things. He will release me to follow my own track. He will release me to follow the road I want to go. But oh, what a dad. Oh, what a dad. Because I've sometimes before, I know I've shared this, but I get a mental picture. I get a mental picture of this old dad. I get a mental picture of this old dad that had grace in motion, and he released his son in faith, and he released him in grace, and he went ahead and gave him his request, and he let him do his own thing. He extended grace to his son, and even though it wasn't wise on the son's part, oh, what a dad. Because I can imagine, we don't know exactly how long it's speculated at, and that's not the important thing today, but we don't know how long this son was gone. Whether it was 6 months or whether it was 6 years, that's not the important thing. But oh, what a dad. Because I believe somehow the dad that Jesus tells about in this parable, that dad, I believe, went out and sat, to put it in our culture, he went out and sat on the front porch every single day, and he was watching for that son to come back home. I believe every single morning when his eyes opened, that dad was getting down beside the bed and praying for, Lord, send my son home today. And he stepped out and sat down in his rocking chair on the front porch, and he's looking down the street just waiting for this son to come home. Oh, what a dad. Oh, what a dad he was. The dad that can release a child at his own will, but then he fervently longs and prays for that wild, wayward child to come home. Oh, what a dad. He looks down the road with expectation. When I read the account, I didn't include it for the sake of time, but when you read the rest of the scriptures there found in Luke chapter 15, and you know, it's evident that he saw his son coming a ways off. I believe he saw that boy when wasn't any more than a speck. And maybe he couldn't detect. Listen, this young man, he had lived through hell. I want you to know that. He did not eat the same food as the hogs. He eat what the hogs didn't eat. He eat the leftovers from the hog pen. He didn't look like he looked when he left. He wasn't dressed like he was dressed when he left. His body, his skin had probably become very, very filthy and was very dirty and maybe well weathered. His hair was probably not groomed. His beard was probably not groomed. He probably, in the sense of the average person, they may not have even recognized this young man. But somehow, because of the grace of this dad, oh, what a dad, he looks down the road and he somehow knew it. Way down at the other end of the street, way down at the other end of the road, when that sun was only looked like just a speck in the horizon, he said, "That's my boy right there. And he's coming to the house. He's coming back home. I knew he would. I had faith in him." And he didn't prepare to punish that boy. He didn't prepare to beat him down, because this boy had never escaped his thoughts. He had never forgot about that son. No matter how far he went, no matter where he went, no matter what he indulged in, that dad was sitting at home and he never forgot his son. And I want you to know what, no matter what we do, where we go, what we indulge in, what happens to us, the dad never forgets us. He never forgets us. And if you would, to put it in very simplistic Southern West Virginia culture, metaphoric terms, dad's still getting up every day. And he's still praying for us by the bedside. And he's still going out on the porch with an anticipation and an expectation that he's going to look down the road day after day, year after year, but sometime or another, there's going to be a speck that is going to come on the horizon, and we may not look as good as we did when we left. We may not smell as good as we did when we left. We may have been through hell and back, but when he looks down the road, he's going to say, "That's my son," or "That's my daughter," one more time. Here they come. Let's start a party. Let's get out the best robe and the best calf. Let's get everything together that we need, because you see, oh, what a dad. That's the grace of the Father. So he's patiently waiting on us to come across the horizon. And here's why. Here's why. Because let me tell you something about the grace that this prodigal dad had. The grace that this prodigal dad had. The faith that this prodigal dad had in his son. Let me tell you something. There's a greater grace and there's a greater faith that God has in you. Amen. I want to tell you something this morning that you might not realize. This prodigal dad believed in his son, even though his son was totally disrespectful and totally rebellious to him. He still believed in his son. And I got news for you. There's a heavenly Father that still believes in you. There's a heavenly Father that believed in me. Now I know all of your, I know all of your kids are the perfect kids. My mom had one perfect child, and then she had my sister. Now I'm just saying that kid, I no doubt gave him a whole lot more trouble than my sister ever did. She was not a troublemaker. You know, she didn't get in a lot of trouble. That's why she didn't get the spankings and all. But I did get the looks and the brains, okay? You know, it's just the way it is. But there's somebody that believes in you. There's somebody that believes in me. And the scripture says, "And hereby we can call him Abba." Abba. Any of y'all ever watch NCIS? You know Ziva's coming back. Mm-hmm. I wish they'd bring Abby back. But you watch NCIS, if you remember some of those NCIS versions and when her dad and some of them, you know, there was, you know, they were killed on the show and different things. And you could remember, if you ever heard, watched it a whole lot, you heard when Ziva was around her dad, you would hear her say, "Abba, Abba, 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 Abba." I think it was in the episode that her dad was assassinated. You hear her say, my memory serves me right, it went off the air like she was going, Abba! Abba. Same word that's used in Scripture, which is the intimate word for the Father in the Hebrew, if you would. For us, our intimate word is Daddy. Now, some of you may have been real proper and called your dad Father, and there's nothing wrong with that. You may call your dad, but I want to tell you what I call my dad. I call him Dad. When I see him later on today, I don't call him Daddy. When I get his card for Father's Day, it will have Daddy on it. You know, nothing wrong with Father, but he's my Daddy. Who's your Daddy? Who's your Daddy? Listen, you have a heavenly Daddy that loves you in spite of your unlovable ways. Same way with me. Same way with me. Although I am pretty lovable, aren't I? Yeah. Just need a confirmation. You see, but it's the grace. You know what? You know why my daddy loves me? Let me tell you, we're out of time. I could tell you all kinds of stories. I wish he was here. You know, he doesn't hear well, so I don't know how that would go, but let me tell you something. I can remember one time daddy had me out, we were cutting firewood. We're cutting wood, been cutting wood all day long, and I got tired of carrying that wood and stacking it on the trailer. We was hauling wood in on a farm tractor with the trailer behind it. I got tired of carrying that wood. And so I thought, well, instead of carrying that wood all the way over the trailer, I'm gonna start throwing it over there. And I picked up a piece of cherry limb about this big around and about that long, and I throw it at the trailer. Little thing, I didn't know daddy was on the other side of the trailer with his back turned. And I caught him right here behind the ear with that thing. Thank God for grace. I remember another time we were hauling off a bunch of junk and we went to the dump and we were unloading all this stuff off the back of the truck, and there was a piece of water hose on the back of the truck, you know, had the brass ends on it, you know, where you screw them together, you know, and I just get on there, I'm just frailing, I'm just throwing stuff everywhere, just getting it off there, you know, I'm just unloading that thing, and I come around that piece of water hose and cut him right across there with that brass end. Thank God for grace. It was rough having a son like me. In fact, you need to quit laughing at me. I'm just picking at you. But you know, you know something? There has nothing ever stopped me from being my daddy's son. Did you know that? There's nothing that's ever stopped me from being my daddy's son. And there's nothing that's ever stopped him from being my daddy. And understand this, that God loves you so much. God wants you so much. Listen, that boy went away. He could have died out there in the pig pen. There's a lot of things could happen. But grace brought him back home. And grace was sitting on the porch waiting on him when he got there. And even though he wasn't pleased with what happened, he was still loved him when he came back home. Oh, what a dad. I thank God for my dad. He'll be 89 in a couple months. And he's a catbird's kitten, if you know what I mean. He's a mess. But let me tell you this. There's never been a daddy to love you as much as Daddy God. I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And nobody leave, because we got some giveaways for the fellas this morning that we're going to do. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Maybe you look back over your life and you realize how gracious God has been to you. He's let you go your way and do your thing. He's allowed you to sow your own wheat. He's allowed you to reap your own harvest. He's allowed you to do everything in your life. But you know that, hey, you you didn't stay home with Him where you needed to be. So this morning, if you're that wayward son or daughter, and you've ventured out and you've traveled around doing your thing, grace in motion allowed you to do that, but grace will bring you back home. And grace is going to receive you when you get home, because it's grace that will say, get out the fancy robe, put a ring on his finger, and let's barbecue a nice young calf, and let's have us a big old time. The Bible says that the angels rejoice when one comes home. So today, if that's you, oh, what a dad. He's waiting on you. If you're in this room and you've never been saved, or maybe you're wayward. Maybe you ventured off on your own after being saved without embarrassing you in the least. Nobody looking around. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I just want to ask you a question. Will you slip up your hand? Will you say, Pastor, pray for me? Anybody in this room? Is there one? Just pray for me. Because listen, I want you to realize Daddy is ready. Daddy is ready. Daddy's ready to bring you home. Is there one? This is what I want us to do then. I want us to stand to our feet. And we're just going to, I just want you to right now, stand with me right where you're at. And we're going to take a minute and we're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice. Because when we're unlovable, when we're hard-headed, when we're right downright aggravating, we have a daddy that still loves us. Amen. Amen. So will you join me with hands raised and hearts wide open as we just worship the Lord for a minute. Father, as we come to you today, I thank you for being a good, good father. I thank you for ministering in our lives. I thank you for touching us. I thank you for blessing us. I thank you for meeting the needs, Lord, that we have. Today, Lord God, I thank you for every time that I wandered far away, that I've been able to come back home. I thank you for every time, Lord, that you've imparted, Lord, what I thought was mine to me, Lord God. Lord, against good wisdom and good judgment, God. You've always restored me, God. I thank you that today, that Jesus, that you are ministering and working and you're meeting the needs in our lives, Lord, in ways that only you can do. So today, God, I glorify you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a good, good father. I thank you today, Lord, for blessing in our lives, for ministering to our needs. And Lord, I thank you today, Lord Jesus, for your grace. And I thank you for your mercy and I thank you for your love because, Lord, I deserve punishment. I probably am even worthy of death, Lord. I don't deserve anything good that you've done for me. But God, you've blessed me and you love me and you've ministered to me just simply because, Lord, you are grace. You are grace. You are grace. Oh, what a dad you are. What a dad you are. Thank you for loving me, Lord. Thank you for being kind to me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me, even when I'm undeserving. I want us to sing just a little bit of that song. Can we do that, good, good, good Father? Just sing just a little bit of this with us, and then we're going to conclude with our giveaway for Father's Day here.